in our world, in our community, with reaching people with the gospel. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 is where we'll be this tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Again, thank you for everyone that put this conference together, all the labor and all the work that you put in. And I hope and pray that tonight, that this message will touch all of our hearts. You know, our society, and we're seeing a lot of Ensenada, it's just turning more and more away from God. And instead of just saying, well, Jesus is coming back soon, and let them just drown in their sin and go to hell, literally. Jesus calls us to be salt and light.
That's right. Yeah.
And I hope and pray that we would have that heart tonight and listen to what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we read this. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house." Verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In verse 16, we read these words in that first part. It says, "Let your light so shine." Let your light so shine. Let's pray, and we'll get right into this. Lord, I come before you, and I ask you, God, that you would cleanse me of any sin, anything that would not be pleasing to you as I open up your holy word tonight. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit's power, and I pray, God, that tonight lives will be changed. I pray, God, that maybe someone will be encouraged to keep being a salt or a light within their family, within their work, within their schools, within their relationships, God. I pray, God, that tonight that you would give us your power to be able to reach those with the gospel, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight that if there's somebody here that does not know you as Savior, that tonight would be the day, night of salvation. They would call on you to save them. I pray, Lord, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lights have a lot of purposes, don't they? We use light for many different reasons. I bought a floodlight for our gate in our house in Ensenada, and I put that thing right on our big wall, and that thing, when somebody walks by, boom, it'll like shine for at least 300 yards. That thing is so bright, man. I know it probably gets people annoyed, but hey, I see you, and you know, once that light goes up, they're like, whoa, and then all of a sudden this big old Rottweiler, my dog, comes and bam, hits the gates, and like, I know, hey, there's somebody walking by. And so we have lights for many different reasons. For protection, like that floodlight. How many of you guys, once Thanksgiving, like right after Thanksgiving dinner, you put up your Christmas lights? Anybody like that? Oh, yeah? My wife is like that. She's already putting on the Christmas music. She's putting on the Christmas lights and everything, and she's ready to go. But we know that lights, they really have, they set a mood. They have a service, what they do. But being a light in the biblical sense has a purpose as well. And we as Christians are to be light. And that light has a purpose. For the Christian, our purpose of life and what we do as a church is simple. Is to let your light so shine, reflecting Jesus in a dark, dying world. We see here in this background, Matthew chapter 5. This is the famous Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is preaching this message. And could you imagine with me, north side of the Sea of Galilee, this beautiful afternoon, and Jesus is speaking to 12 of his disciples and maybe possibly 1 to 200 people who were interested in Jesus. They were interested as far as, who is this person? Who is this person who they call the Messiah, and listening to his words? And maybe tonight you're maybe like one of those people. You've been coming to church and you've been somewhat listening to the pastor preach and listening to the words of Jesus, and you've been kind of interested to see who is this person. Let me tell you tonight, in Jesus, you find salvation. You find eternal life. You find abundant life. You find true satisfaction, a purpose. You find a living hope. And in Jesus, you get to have not, when you ask him to save you, you get the Holy Spirit indwelt in you. You get God on your side. That's what you get when you get Jesus. And also, you get his word. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, as his divine power is given to all us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. And in this passage, Jesus starts with the Beatitudes. He starts by saying, I read in verse 11, blessed are, or verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I love those words when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus goes on to talk about, in this section, before we get to the passage we're going to be studying tonight, he talks about characteristics. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, these are characteristics that you are to have and follow in your life. And I'm reading these things, I'm like, great, awesome, yes. But then he says in verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And I'm reading, I'm like, yes, blessed are this, blessed, blah, 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 what? Men shall persecute you? They'll make fun of you? I thought people would be excited to hear the gospel. I thought people would love and be excited that we're there in Ensenada to give the greatest news ever. But Jesus says here, if you're going to be a follower of me, look at, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, when we are persecuted, when we are made fun of or not received how we thought that we should have been received, many times our reaction is this. If you make fun of me, if you attack me, either it's this. I take flight, I'm just getting away from you. Do you guys have a coworker or somebody that just irritates you and they'll make fun of you or attack you in your faith and you're just like, just get away from me. I've done that before. You take flight. Or sometimes when somebody attacks you, you're like, I'm going to attack you back. I'm like that too, okay? But Jesus says, listen up, I don't want you to take flight or fight. I want you to be salt and light. It kind of rhymes, right, doesn't it? But he says, I don't want you to do those things. I want you to be salt and light. Now, I'm not talking about in a way as far as when somebody asks you a question. Look, the Bible says to be always ready to give an answer. And that word answer in the Bible is apologia, where we get the word apologetics. So the Bible says to always be ready to give an answer. In 2 Timothy 2:23 through 26, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, able to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we are to be ready to give an account or to give an answer to those who ask questions to us. But Jesus says, I want you to be salt and light. And I want to let you guys know, and this is a reminder myself, in our Christian walk, it's not all about ourselves, but it's about God and others. Love God, love others. And we are to be salt and light in this world in order to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus. So in verse 13, I want us to look at here. Write down this point. Be a preservative. Be a preservative. Look at verse 13, what it says. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Jesus says there in the beginning of that verse, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Now we know a lot about salt, right? We use salt for a lot of things. We use salt for flavor, don't we? Now, when I was traveling on deputation, when we would go through the South, I fell in love with barbecue. Oh, I just love barbecue. Barbecue is like my second most favorite food behind Mexican food. But I fell in love with barbecue. I fell in love with sweet tea. And I've been trying to cut back on Coca-Cola and everything, but The only bad thing about the hotel, Pastor Garcia, there's a Cracker Barrel like right there. And so, you know, it was like I was working, I got finished with my message for this Sunday, and I sent it to my wife, and the thoughts start going in like, Cracker Barrel. It's calling my name. I said, no, I just worked out. No. But they got that good plate. That was mac and cheese, this fried chicken. Those fried apples, right? Fried apples. I'll go, but I'll just get a water. So I'm going, and I get my seat down, and then I order my food, and as I'm eating, okay, just one sweet tea, just one. I'll just get one. And I'm drinking it and everything, and they're like, would you like some more? Yes, give me some more. But you cannot have that kind of food or even barbecue without sweet tea. I fell in love with barbecue so much, I bought a smoker, and I started learning. I wanted to learn how to barbecue, and so I was looking on YouTube how to barbecue, and, you know, I saw this one guy. He was this, like, really skinny guy, right? And he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to show you how to barbecue. And I'm like, this guy does not know what he's talking about. Then I found this YouTube channel, and the channel is called How to Barbecue Right. Now, if you know, I encourage you to look up this channel. This is a big guy, a big beard, and he actually acts like this. He's like, hey, folks, I'm going to show you how to barbecue right. And I'm like, that guy knows what he's talking about. And I started learning from him. I started buying his products. They have his products now in Walmart. You should go check it out. It's called How to Barbecue Right, and I bought his seasonings. He has steak seasoning and all-purpose rub. But I can guarantee you, if you go to the grocery store, you look at those barbecue rubs, what's always the main ingredient they have in it? Salt. Now, in the context here, when we see that Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, there's a lot of spiritual applications that we could take from this. First of all, if we go into context and see what Jesus is speaking about, we know that salt, back in the Bible times too, it was very, very valuable even in the ancient world. There are some historians that have wrote that salt was so valuable that if Roman soldiers, if they couldn't pay them in money, they would pay them in salt. That's how valuable it is. And we can kind of take a little application from that as far as, listen, follower of Jesus, you are valuable and precious in God's sight. You have a purpose. Those of you who are on the sidelines are not really sure. Listen, God loves you, and he's provided a home in heaven. He provides salvation for you through Jesus Christ. You are valuable and precious in God's sight. Listen, even when you don't love God, he loves you. In 1 John 4:9-10, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world, that we might live through him. But look what verse 10 says. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us, and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. So we can kind of take that application, but also, here's another, I think, primary meaning. You see, before the days of refrigeration, they still do this. They would put salt in the meat in order for it not to spoil. It was a preservative by rubbing into the meat so the meat wouldn't be rot, and it would be a slow process before it even rot. And what Jesus is telling us tonight and his disciples is that we can look at our world around us and we see everything is going on. We see people who mock the Bible. We see people who mock traditional marriage. They mock God. They mock Jesus. But listen, Jesus says, instead of us taking a step back and saying, the world's going to hell, let them go, he wants us to be a preservative and to slow down the process. That's what he wants us to do, to get in, to help slow down this process. Look, the world, if they do not believe in Christ, they are condemned. In Psalm 14:3, the Bible says, one, in John 3:17-18, for God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I love this verse, John 5:24. I always use this to tell people and witnessing to them. It says, verily, verily, truly, truly, this is Jesus' words, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, hears my word, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen, as a salt is a preservative to slow down the process of meat being ruined, where is it that God has put you to be a salt? You could look at your coworkers and like, eh, I don't care. You could look at your family, eh, I don't care. You could look at your community, what community with reaching people with the gospel? But also we can take maybe an application of this. Like salt, we are to be a good flavor, a good influence in our world today. Are people attracted to you because you're a Christian, or are they like, ah, there's that salty Christian again? I know a lot of those kind of Christians, and you're looking at him. I could be that way. So do you add flavor, a good flavor to wherever you're at? Are you that salt? Are you that preservative? The Bible goes on to say, Jesus says in verse 13, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Literally, just real quick, like, again, this is talking about don't lose your value or your purpose. Don't lose your value and purpose when it comes to your family, your job, your friends, and reaching them with the gospel. Be that salt in their life. Number two, let's go on real quick. Verse 14. Be a preservative. Produce light. Produce light. Look at verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now look what it says here. Ye are the light of the word. You all are the light of the world. Now Jesus has said, we are to be like salt and we are to be like light. Now, this is a great, great compliment and a great responsibility for us tonight. You see, in the ancient world, the Greeks valued and prized knowledge. The Romans, it was all about glory. For us Americans today, we value freedom. We talk about freedom. But to the Jews, light was the concept and the biblical as far as spiritual truth and even the Word of God and absolute truth. Now, the Bible speaks about light in many ways and its symbolic use, and Jesus calls himself the light of the world. In John 12:46, the Bible says, I am come a light to the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But when Jesus says this, he's looking at his 12 disciples, and he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Just as Jesus shines in this world, he wants us to shine in this world to be a reflection of Jesus in this darkness. We are to reflect Jesus, and we have to ask ourselves, are you being a living representative of Jesus in others' lives? You see, this is a powerful, powerful declaration. You know, that term, the light of the world, was only used for certain rabbis in that time, and it's still used today. I was just watching right now. There's a man right now in Jerusalem. They call him Yanuka, which is literally Jewish for like a child prodigy. He's around 30 years old. His name, I'm going to probably butcher this, Shlomo Yehuda Berahi. He's this rabbi. He's like this prodigy. He studied the scriptures so well. And I hear people in interviews all the time talking about this man. And they literally say he is like the light of the world. And they would use that term only for special, smart rabbis. But Jesus looks at these 12 fishermen, Peter, Andrew, doubting Thomas, and I can just imagine to myself, Jesus, they're talking to his disciples and these 100 to 200 people and saying, you are the light of the world. And Peter like, he's talking about you. Yeah, you lie of the world, okay. Poking fun at each other. Me, a fisherman? Lie of the world? But Jesus would use these 11 men to turn the world upside down. And Jesus tells these men, you are the light of the world. Listen, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. God calls you to be a light in this dark world. Listen what 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29 says. For you see your calling, brethren, how not that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence. And listen, the Apostle Paul was speaking to a messed up church. A church with full of issues. A church with past issues. I'm sure we could all raise our hand and say, ooh, if you knew my past. If you know what I'm going through right now. But listen, like I read last night, on Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But what does it say there? And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Listen, when that devil comes back to try to put you down, tell him I've been justified. I've been declared righteous. I'm sanctified. That's not me anymore. Such were some of you. And these people who got saved, God still wanted to use them to be a light in their world. And God wants that he can use messed up, goofy people like us to be a light in this world. You see, as we go on here in this passage, Jesus says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Again, you have to remember, speaking about ancient times, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, a lot of times when in the ancient world there in Israel, they would make their cities or make their big, big structures on a hill, and they would make their material, it was, I forget the material they would use, but it was white. Literally, you could see it from a distance in the dark. And many times people would travel during the night. Now, there was no lights out there. Now, I've been to Clark Fork, Idaho. Okay, that's a, for a city guy like me, nah, that's scary stuff. I remember I was with the pastor there, and he's like, oh, we're about to go for a walk, and he's carrying a sign. I'm like, wait, we're going to do a drive-by? What are we doing here? And he's like, I mean, that's what I'm from California. That's what we do when you have a gun. He's like, no, look, we're going on a hike. There's bears out here. There's mountain lions. There are moose. There are lions. There are cheetahs. There are all kinds of. Wait, that's Africa. Bigfoot. Bigfoot is out there. Yes. And I'm thinking, man, and we were out there at night. And I remember we were at the pastor's house, and we got in that car, and I turned on the car, and the lights go. You see all these little eyes out there. What's going on here? Are we getting jumped or what's going on? And like, oh no, that's just deer. I'm like, deer? Whew. I'm thinking in my mind there's bears and Bigfoot is looking after me and stuff. But it's beautiful out there. Could you imagine traveling? And people would travel at night in order to get away from the heat. They would travel in packs so that for protection there were wild animals that could get them. But here is the thing. They would build those towns, those building constructions on a hill so that it could be seen. And literally the purpose of that light was to give direction by making it possible for people to see. At night, a city that sits on a hill, it shines light in all directions from an elevated position, and the light could be seen far and wide, showing travelers which way to go. And Jesus speaks to us and compares us to that. Not only to be a light, but also to be a city that's set on a hill to give direction to a world that's lost and dying and to point them to Jesus. That's what Jesus says, to have your light so shine like a city that's set on a hill. As long as we live on this earth, we are to be a light and an influence in our world. And as Christians, we are to make the light of Jesus shine like that city that's set on a hill. How do we do this? by sharing the gospel of salvation through Jesus. We do this by how we live our lives. We do this by how we love one another. What does Jesus say in John 13, 34 through 35? A new commandment I give unto you. And as Christians, I think we really need to get back to this. We've dropped the ball on this a lot. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus says, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye shall also love one another. And look what he says in verse 35 in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. You know what Jesus says, how people will know you are following me? By how you love one another. When that man came to that church dressed up as a woman, he said, I don't know what's so different about you. How are you being kind to me? The love of Christ. Now, it's not to give glory to any man. It's not to give glory to any church. But Jesus says, people will know that there's something different about you, that you are my disciple by how you love one another. And I think because of that, that man sat through the whole service and listened to a message of the living hope found in Christ. Jesus says, how you let your light shine? By loving one another. Show your love to a lost and dying world. We are to be a city that sits on a hill, in our home, in the workplace, in our community, but also, as we read in verse 15, going back to Matthew 5, verse 15, Jesus says this, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Now, still going on this idea of nighttime, again, back in that time, when the sun would go down, they would, depending on how rich they were, would have candles, they would give each other candles, and they would put that candle in different parts of the house to give light to the house. And the reason is to give light. You don't put your candle under a basket. It loses its purpose. Why would you do that? And I think sometimes we as Christians, we put our candle under that basket because maybe sometimes we're ashamed. We're afraid. If I give the gospel to a friend at my work, what are they going to think about me? Weirdo. When God gives you the opportunity to give the gospel to somebody, listen, we have people in our home all the time. And listen, I don't know how God does it. The conversation always goes towards biblical and spiritual things. And I have to ask God, God, help me not be ashamed. Give me your power to speak on this issue. But there have been times where I've dropped the ball. Oh, I was like, I go back and like, I could have gone into that. I could have jumped into that because we have people that are searching. Listen, we have in our church now New Agers. And they're seeking. They've seen that all the stuff they've been following has just led them down a deep, dark road. And they want to know who Jesus is. And there have been many times to have those conversations. And I just keep giving them the gospel. Because the Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, there will be people that think you're foolish. There will be people that make fun of you. But keep giving the gospel to people. In 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, we know it is the power of God, isn't it? It's the power of God and the power of the gospel to change lives, to rebuild marriages, to see addictions broken. It's the power of the gospel. And I want to encourage you guys, keep just giving the gospel. Keep loving on people. When they see that difference in you, share with them the gospel. That is where the power is in the gospel. Notice what he says at the very end. Here in verse 15. Neither do a man light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. It gives light to all that are in the house. Listen, I don't know if I'm taking this out of context, but I think there's an application we can take from this. Jesus says that light, it gives light to all that are in the house. Listen, before we could be a light in our community, before we could be a light within our coworkers, it all starts within the home. We need to be a light first within our home. And this is something that I have had to learn. Because children will see the hypocrisy. We could all put on a good jacket, right? We all look good going to church. I've done it on the road, deputation. Maybe my wife and I, we got in a fight. We're trying to clean things up before we get to the church. How many? Oh, don't raise your hand, okay? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, praise God. Good to be in church today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then my wife looking at me. My wife's looking at me like, I'm going to get you after the service, you know? I've had to deal with this. There have been times when we started the church where, you know, we get in a fight and we come to church. And I remember my wife telling me this one time. She goes, how come you sometimes treat us this way, but you treat your church members so much better sometimes than your own family? And that struck me in the heart. And she said, nah, thank God for her. She's almost like the Holy Spirit, right? Your children will see the hypocrisy, Louise. And I want to encourage a family here, a couple here. You may need to go home right now, have a conversation with your spouse, and say, I am sorry. If I'm going to be used by God to be a light in this world, it needs to start within my home, and it starts now. There may be a few tears shed. Getting things right. Maybe you as a single. Lord, there's some things in my life I know that I need to get rid of. It starts within your own home. In order to do that, it starts within the home. But also, we'll end right here. God's glory is our purpose. God's glory is our purpose. Look at verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, I love that word right there as far as good in the Greek. Literally means a sense of attractiveness, beautiful or appealing in character. That's what that word is used when it says, let people see those good works as something beautiful and appealing in character. We are to live in a way that, as we were praying, that's attractive to others who see, and they see that there's something different about you, and I gotta find out what that is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And good works are important in the life of a Christian, aren't they? The Bible speaks a lot about good works, that a lot of times good works are fruit of our relationship with Jesus. Good works show that our faith is real. In James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, we know that James is not talking about saving faith, okay? We know he's talking about a faith as far as that people will see that your faith is real by your good works. We love Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. We quote it all the time. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, but does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, those good works that we do, what is the purpose? What does Jesus end by saying? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are to do good works to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Listen, we don't do good works to win our salvation, to get on God's good side, But we are to do good works to bring glory to God so that others can see the light of Christ through you. Listen, good works should also not be directed to yourself. That's pride. Not about, look at me. Look what I did, God. We are to do works, good works, so that our Father in heaven may be glorified. Now, here's the question. What's the point? So what? Are you being a salt and a light within your community, within your home? Are you being a preservative? Are you producing light? And to remember all the time, all that we do, the purpose is to bring God glory. That's what it's all about. Listen, the way things are going in this world can sometimes be discouraging. We can sometimes just buckle down and us for no more. But I encourage all of us to be salt and light right now in this moment. If you haven't been, do it now. Because I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I think he's going to be coming back soon. I think so. I'm not a prophet. Okay? Don't say Louis Brother Lopez prophesied. No, don't say that, okay? But I think he's coming back soon. So let's do all that we can right now to be salt and light where God has placed us in our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this night. I pray, God, that you would just use the rest of this time, Lord, to be reminded of what you call us to be. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here that does not know you as Savior, that tonight will be the night of salvation. And I pray, God, that you use the rest of this missions conference to help us to reach our world with the gospel, to continue being salt and light where you've placed us, and to love others how you would want us to love them. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Garcia.
Thank you, Brother Lopez. Let's go ahead and...